You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast. You know who it is, Colt Molesky, and every single day bringing you Timberwolves content. This is take two. I had a stupid problem with GarageBand, and it deleted the entire first episode, so we're re-recording this. Take two, people. Take two on the Locked On Wolves podcast, Wednesday, March 20th. We're going to be talking about today about the Warriors' loss. The loss to the Warriors, I should say. About a very specific player that I want to give props to and accolades to. And I'm going to look at the next week. I like taking a week look stretch in these little breaks and these little mellows and dips here. And so I am going to take a week look stretch. Usually I try and do these on Mondays, obviously. But we had Seth and then we had Mike Vorkunov of The Athletic on. And we've just been packed with a couple good guests here over the last couple of days. So I didn't have time to get to it. So I'm going to do it right now and take a look Wednesday to Wednesday. Who are we playing over the next week? So that's all coming up first. Let's talk about this Warriors game and why I think that you should not be down in the mouth and glum about it. So the Timberwolves lose to the Warriors 117-107. And for a good portion of this game, the Timberwolves were fighting. Obviously, things happened like the Warriors had a 20-point lead. That's going to happen against the Warriors. But the Timberwolves also had a 13-point lead in this one. And they were hanging right there with them at the end of the first half. They were taking it right to them through the third quarter. They were only outscored by 4 points. But at the same time, things happened in this game that made it feel almost insurmountable. I mean, like in that third quarter, if you looked at it, it's only 4 points. But it felt like a lot more that they were outscored by in that third quarter just because Curry was hitting everything. 4 of 5 from three-point range, 7 of 8 from the field, 22 points that third quarter. He was amazing this one. He ended with 39 points in the game. And it's the Warriors, and so obviously when you're coming, or 36 points Curry had in this game, sorry, but if you're coming at the Warriors with anything less than your full complement, it's going to be difficult. And the Timberwolves came into this one still pretty banged up. Derrick Rose, Jeff Teague out, obviously. Covington still has not come back. And it's going to be tough when you don't have a full complement of players. That said, I think a silver lining should be that the Timberwolves are hanging in these games. 26-21 from Towns in 34 minutes. And you can say, oh, Boogie wasn't there, so that helps. I think he can take it to Boogie. Boogie has looked pretty slow on defense since coming back from that Achilles injury. And I'm not trying to besmirch a man who came back from Achilles injury, possibly the most detrimental injury in the NBA that an NBA player could have, or maybe even any athlete could have. But I will say this. He could have been very easily victimized by Towns. I think the big difference that Towns has, if Boogie is in this one, he probably has like 2 less rebounds or something like that. That's it. I'm being totally honest. That's what I think the difference is. So Towns has a monster night, and Towns is going to be a little bit of an equalizer. No matter what talent is on the Timberwolves, Towns is going to cut the gap by more than a margin and a half between the Timberwolves and a team. But, I mean, you had all of the starting five score double digits. Wiggins with 20, 13 from Saric. Okogie had 19, 10 from Tyus. And they're putting up these great efforts against good teams. Jazz, Nuggets, Warriors, all these teams are playoff teams, and they're putting out some great efforts. They're hanging in there. They're up at points. They're fighting back. And while some of these games turn into like a 20-point loss, for the most part, this Timberwolves team is really fighting and really hanging in there. And that is encouraging because it's really easy for a team that can only have their only real success is going to be found in losing. There is a danger with a team like that that there can start to be a culture of losing, that there it can start to be an acceptable thing, and that it, all of a sudden it turns into Towns is a good stats, bad team guy, and this team is just playing to get it over with. And that doesn't feel – this is not where the Timberwolves are yet. And I'm not saying that maybe – I don't know what's going to happen next year, obviously. And I'm not saying that they're never going to be at that point. If they come out and they're really bad next year, maybe there's danger of that. But I can be really critical of the coaching staff, and I'm going to say two good things about them today. And the first thing is right here. They're not instilling that losing culture, and there's not a toxicity there's not a nasty, vile feel to this Timberwolves locker room or this Timberwolves team in general. And I think that's important, that you're not establishing a culture of losing and that this team still is fighting and still is frisky, especially around good teams. I think that's so important, and I think that's a really encouraging thing to see for this Timberwolves team. And so if you're looking at this game and if you're looking at this loss, while it's a bummer to lose, I think that there's a lot of good takeaways from this game. And I think there's a lot of good things you can take from this game. And so you obviously see things that you have to improve on. 25% shooting from three isn't going to beat a lot of teams, much less the Warriors. And the Timberwolves still have a really weak perimeter defense. And a lot of that you can, or not a lot, but there's pieces that you can chalk up to guys like Covington being out. He changes a lot if he's in that rotation. But even despite all those flaws, they're still hanging around, still fighting, still pushing these teams like the Warriors. And that is a very encouraging mark for the Timberwolves. And it shows you that I really believe that this Timberwolves team is one guy, one special guy away from being a playoff team. And I think it's really apparent when you have a guy like Towns who's getting double teamed and still ends up putting up 26 and 21. And if he's getting double teamed and you're able to feed it to a guy who you know is going to just be money, and you have a guy who can, for when Towns is having a great game, for 8 minutes be like, this is my 8 minutes, I'm going to destroy this team for the next 8 minutes, I'm going to be the best player on this floor. And having that second guy is super important. Now Covington might be that guy, I'm not sure yet. I know that it's not Wiggins. I know that just on a consistency basis, that ship has already sailed. You can't be that guy when every other game you're just a no-show, or two out of every three games you're just a no-show. And Derrick Rose, for as good as he was at the beginning of the season, he just cannot handle the minutes and the trudge of the regular season. I mean, when we started out, he was phenomenal. And then he kind of got dinged up, and then he came back, and he was probably 80%, and he was still great. And then he got dinged up some more, and he came back. It's probably like 60%. And if he comes back in this last, I believe there's 11 games left. If he comes back in this 11 games, he's probably going to be like 55, 60% Derrick Rose. And that's a bummer, because it was really fun seeing the Derrick Rose revival, and it was really fun seeing him tailor and critique and change his game so that he fit onto an NBA team and was an actual really efficient contributor. But Derrick Rose isn't that second guy. He's too banged up now. He can't be that second guy anymore. And there's other guys on this team too young. They can't be that second guy. And so if the Timberwolves somehow, through a trade or a free agent, maybe a draft pick, if they can find that second guy, this is a very different team. And obviously, if they can be healthy too, that is nice as well. But I still think if they can find that second guy, this is a very different team. And I think it's really obvious when you have Towns keeping them in games like they are against the Warriors. And you just have talent guys. Like, as bad as Wiggins has been in spots, he's still a talented player. He's still a talented contributor. They have great young guys. And they have great role players like Sarge and Covington. At the very worst for Covington, and maybe the very best for Sarge, they're going to be really solid role guys. And so you have a lot of great pieces, some great bones on this team. But you need that second guy. But I think that while there could be a grain of salt with that, that should also be encouraging. That hey, we're one piece away, one piece away. And so that's the silver lining. I know that's maybe a lot too much positivity for people coming out of a loss, but you know what? There's a certain way you can go down on this ship, and I'm going to do it with a glass of champagne, so let's do it. All right, we are going to get to a break for some sponsors, and then I'm going to talk about a very special player that I want to highlight here. But first, some sponsors. Did you know you can fill out a tourney bracket at DraftKings this year? That's right, DraftKings, the leader in daily fantasy sports, has a totally free bracket with tens of thousands of dollars up for grabs. Everyone is filling out brackets during the tourney. Might as well do it on an award-winning app with tons of free prizes. For the first time ever, DraftKings is offering a bracket battle promotion with $64,000 in prizes. You know how the bracket works. Before tip-off, the first game of the tournament, you pick the winner of every game, every round. That's all there is to it. And the best part is, you can play free with the code DRIBBLE. You can even set up a private group for you and your friends and compete for bragging rights. Who doesn't want to beat their friend in the bracket challenge? I know I do. I know I don't, but I try every year, and you should try as well. Download the DraftKings app or head to DraftKings.com now. Use code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle promotion for free and compete for your share of $64,000. $64,000. That's code DRIBBLE to enter the bracket battle for free only at DraftKings. You're giving away money. You are literally giving away money if you don't try this for free with the promo code DRIBBLE. The game inside the game. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Colt Molesky, before we get to the next segment, just wanted to remind you guys, we have a new partnership with Himalaya. That's Himalaya, the podcasting app. And they do a great job of not only giving your podcast each and every day and your subscriptions each and every day, but they also do a great job of showing you new podcasts they might like, presenting you with new content and new hosts that you may enjoy to pair with those podcasts you're already listening to and already have on your rotation. Go subscribe. Make sure you're not just downloading. Subscribe to the Locked On Wolves podcast on Himalaya. Alrighty, Josh Okogie is my man. He is the man that I would love to highlight here. And he has been doing so phenomenal. So phenomenal. Over the course of this season, it's been a weird year for Josh Okogie. It's been a weird rock and roll, up and down, rocky type season for Josh Okogie. To start, he wasn't playing a ton. Jimmy Butler was on the team, and then you had Jimmy Butler just being gone for games and then or getting traded, and he was kind of had some big minutes roles there. And then you have when Robert Covington, Darius Saric joined the team, then you have him getting pushed to basically no time at all. And then you have injuries happening. He's thrown into these different roles and different minutes loads. So over the 63 games he's played, not all games are the same, and not all it has been kind of turbulent for him. But he's played in 63 games, averaged 23 minutes per game, 7.5 points per game, 37% from the field, 28%, excuse me, from three rebounds, 1.2 assists, 1.1 steals all per game. Now, the biggest knock, I think, on Okogie, you can pick apart some of his defensive aspects, but he's a young player, and while maybe he has some lapses in defense or he misses some guys, you cannot accuse him of not trying hard, and he's a big high effort guy. And so as he grows, that's a really important part, because if he's taking defensive plays off, that's a problem. But more of his mistakes are born out of an eagerness to try and make a play versus him giving up on a play. And so I like that. That's something you can mold, right? That's something that you can tinker, and you can show him on film and teach him and give him a learning curve with that. So I'm not as concerned about that. What concerned me earlier was how he really couldn't find a rhythm on offense. And he's a tremendous athlete and was really great in transition, really great at burning a defense and defense on in transition particularly. But in half court offense, he really couldn't find a spot. And there was that slight panic you could have if you're a Timberwolves fan and you've watched Andrew Wiggins for the last few years, where you see him break three after three, and he's really good in transition, he's really good at getting to the rack, and you can kind of have that, oh my gosh, we have another guy who cannot fit into that three-point shooting that we desperately need, and we might actually ruin him because we're killing his confidence by making him shoot all these threes and he keeps missing them, and that's not his role, and he can't find his role, so he's either going to be another guy in the paint, or we're just going to have him, we're going to force him into losing his shot, kind of like Wiggins. Now, again, that's definitely an overreaction for a rookie, but that's still a thought that you would have if you've been watching Wiggins the last few years. And so there was a little concern about his offense shooting really poorly from three, especially early on. But if you're looking at these last three games that he's had, holy balls. So you have 26 minutes per game in these last three games, 14 points per game, 60% shooting from the field on 8.3 field goal attempts, and then you have 42% shooting from three on 4.7 three-point attempts. He's averaging 3.3 rebounds, 1.3 assists, nearly two steals a game. Wow, he has been really good, and he has really found a rhythm on offense and really found kind of his spot and his role in the offense, and that's great because, and here's the second nice thing I will say about the coaching staff. For a Timberwolves coaching staff over the last couple of years that was maligned about not only how they're playing their young guys, but how they're molding their young guys, and how guys like Wiggins are going the wrong way, and how they're not giving their guys enough opportunity. You're not getting your young guys ready, and you're not getting that second group to step up, and you're not developing players, and you're also you're not even giving them a chance, but you're also not doing it well. To have them help groom this player in one season from somebody who scared me when he got the ball on offense to a guy I really want to see have a more dedicated role on offense, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And again, I know I've been critical of some aspects of Ryan Saunders, but he has done a good job. And stuff like this, I think, highlights the job that he's done and highlights what he has been able to accomplish over a short period of time. And I am just wildly impressed with the growth you've seen. And it is a small sample size, but it's also not one game. And so to have him game, to be growing in confidence, and they've been playing good teams. I mean, it's not like he was playing the Cavs, Hawks, and Grizzlies or something like that. Or Grizzlies are actually pretty good defense too, but the Hawks, Cavs, and Knicks for the last three games. I mean, they've been playing playoff teams. And for him to have that confidence in spotlights, I mean, he had a great game against the Warriors the other night. To have him have that confidence in spotlight games against teams like the Warriors and to be starting to grow in some consistency, starting to build on some of that stuff, I think is really encouraging. And I think it's a really good, it's a really great mark. And I think that not only should it be encouraging for the Timberwolves, and maybe if you're looking at this and saying, well, this could be pretty positive if we get a high draft pick and you get a really highly touted prospect, maybe then you could actually, that could actually be a really interesting piece because now your coaching staff is proving they can actually kind of develop guys. Also, I would just like to point out, sure, this is a smaller sample size, but if you go to a little bit bigger sample size, maybe go to like seven games, 34% shooting from three. So there's still that growth there. There's still that added confidence, 45% from the field. And now really it's just a matter of, all right, we've given you more leash and you've been growing and you've been working on your game and you've been getting sharper. Now, what does that look like with 10 shots a game? What does that look like with 11 shots a game? And, I mean, you're losing these games anyways. I mean, might as well keep building on a young guy's confidence. I mean, you can give Okogie 11 shots a game and still let Towns have 20 attempts. Okay, so I don't want to hear anybody tweeting at me that, oh, no more shots to anybody. Towns needs to shoot everything. That is, the shots are there. Calm down. I also would like to point out over, just looking at some advanced stats quickly before we head to another break, he was Okogie in his field goal efficiency percentage and true shooting percentage. He was sub 50%, over 70% in both aspects. He's just becoming a more efficient. And obviously those numbers bear out in those percentages as well from earlier. But just more stats that are showing he's becoming and showing that efficient, higher level of offense that you were hoping for when you draft him from Georgia Tech and that you didn't really see early on. And so I'd like to highlight Okogie. Another thing I'd like to highlight is he was just a shade over plus one, and this is a turnover, plus two right now over the last three games, being careful with the basketball. And I think that's all playing into he has confidence in the offense. He has confidence in his role. So he's making decisions, and he's not second-guessing them. He's not second-guessing shots. He's not double-pumping shots or double-clutching shots. He has a role in this offense, has confidence in this offense, and it's bearing out in the numbers. He's playing a lot better, a lot more efficient, more turnover-free basketball in the offense, and those are all good things. We're going to take a break, and I'm going to talk about the next 7 days. Colt Molesky reminded you, one, to download the Himalaya app from the App Store for all your podcasting and subscribe to the Locked On Wolves podcast on Himalaya, but also that the Timberwolves are playing games tomorrow, Saturday, and Tuesday. They play the Hornets. They're on the road playing the Hornets. They're on the road in Memphis on Saturday, and then on Tuesday, they're at home against the Clippers. That's the next week of games. I would just like, before we head out here, to draw some parallels here. I think a similarity right off the bat for the Timberwolves in two of these games is that this against this Hornets team and this Clippers team, both of these games, very important for playoff implications. Both of these teams are going to be highly invested in these games. The Charlotte Hornets are in the 10th spot in the East. They're 31 and 39, right there behind the Orlando Magic, 33 and 38, and the Miami Heat, who are the eighth seed currently in the East as of right now, 34 and 36. So if you have like a six-game stretch, you're definitely talking about being in the playoffs if you're the Hornets. And if, I mean, Brooklyn is the seventh seed, they're 37-36. If you have like a 7-8 game stretch over the last 11 here, I mean, you're talking about scraping at the Brooklyn Nets heels in the seventh seed. So the playoffs very much in play for the Charlotte Hornets. And so that's why they're going to be playing with a different level of intensity, I think, than maybe I just said that the Timberwolves are playing really scrappy, but in the fourth quarter, this game is going to mean a lot more to the Hornets than the Clippers. And I think that's something that you might see show in this game. I think that might show, especially when you're on the road to the Hornets. And then the Clippers, they're at 42 and 30 in the eighth seed. But, so they're in the playoffs, and the Sacramento Kings are a pretty long way off at 34 and 36 in the ninth seed right now, just out of the playoffs. But if you're the Clippers, Utah is 41-29 in the seventh seed. San Antonio is 42-29 in the sixth seed. Oklahoma is in the fifth seed, 42-29. I mean, you could bump up to the sixth seed if you finish out well. If you are able to grab seven wins here to finish out the season, there's a chance you could jump all the way to the sixth seed, or at least grab the seventh seed. And really, if you're not playing the Warriors in that first round, that should be a goal that you shoot for with every fiber of your being. So the Clippers, this game means a lot to them as well. Also, for tomorrow, the Timberwolves will be attacking the Hornets with a depleted backcourt. But if you're looking even out over the next week, if you're looking at both the Hornets and the Clippers, there's a big potential for the Timberwolves to be attacking both of these teams with a depleted backcourt. And both these teams have a lot of strengths in their backcourt, especially the Clippers with that deep backcourt of Lou Williams, Patrick Beverley, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And so you've got a lot of weapons. You've got a lot of guys that can kind of role play into that backcourt position. Got a lot of different pieces moving there. I mean, that's not even, there's more guys that you can throw into there, but we'll get into that later next week. But it's going to be tough for the Timberwolves, for both these teams, because the strength of both of these teams is going to be coming from the backcourt. And the Timberwolves are just really shallow with injuries from that position. And so that's a bummer. That's another thing is that when push comes to shove, and I know that Towns will probably keep them in this game, but as far as just wins, when push comes to shove, these backcourts are going to be going up against injury-riddled backcourts for the Timberwolves, and they're going to show up and show out. And the Timberwolves, I just don't think will have gas in the tank from their point guards and shooting guards to keep up and manage that. And so Towns will keep them in this game, but I think that aspect really loses the game for the Timberwolves. And then as far as that Saturday game, just looking ahead, I'm going to talk about this more on Friday, but I am so excited for this game. This is my favorite. This might be actually sweeping statement. This is probably like my top two favorite game for the Timberwolves. They have 11 games left, and I'm really, really excited for this one, and I'm really, really excited for the Thunder game. for the Timberwolves of these 11 games left. And they play some great teams in these last 11. They finish with the Nuggets again. They play the Raptors, Blazers, the Warriors, the 76ers. But I am most excited for this game and the Thunder game. And I'll tell you why. Because the revival of Joakim Noah is fantastic and amazing, and I'm here for it. He's slamming, he's throwing down the basketball, he's blowing kisses at the free throw line. It's amazing. And you have Valanciunas, both those guys playing against Karl-Anthony Towns. The slugfest and the heavyweight back and forth, pow, 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 of those two sides going at each other is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait for it. I hope Towns drops 45. I hope that Valanciunas and Noah go right back and take it right to him. And I hope Noah has like four great dunks in this game. And I'm just here for it. I'm excited for it. And that is going to be one of the best parts of this weekend. And it's March Madness this weekend. So that's a pretty strong statement for me because I love March Madness. I love March Madness. But that's going to be awesome. Super here for it. Super excited for it. So keep a lookout for that. All right. That's it for me, guys. Thank you so much for listening and tuning into another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.